Now serving butter and bacon. The good stuff.
Starbucks cup, really?
Yeah, the holiday cups are out. 10 red cup designs, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, and they're all artsy. Like they are red, but they have white designs. I saw two in particular. One that looks like kind of a flower design coming out from the mermaid logo, and the other one with a big reindeer.
Now this is in stark contrast from the elimination of red cups.
Well, yeah, it was not eliminated. They had a quote-unquote temporary green cup that was more of a spirit of Thanksgiving that I did enjoy, but people did kind of lose their collective mind when they said, where's the red cups? But
wait, overreaction on Twitter?
No, and or Facebook.
Or Facebook.
Or Instagram, or Plurk. Plurk? Does anyone still use Plurk?
I don't even know what that is.
It's kind of like Twitter.
Are you on the MySpace
Yeah, MySpace, LinkedIn... I would like to add you to my professional network. You know who else I would like to add to my professional network? All these people that have joined us. Hello! Welcome to Butter and Bacon, where we discuss the good stuff of Disney.
And yet, and your Red Cup is welcome here.
Yes, it is! Red Cup. Love it. Love it! Actually, today, it's buy one, get one free from 2 to 5, so I will be partaking in that.
Really?
Yes! So, yeah. Cool. Just what I need at 4 o'clock in the afternoon is 2 venti peppermint mochas.
Go for it.
Yeah, but on the topic of go for it, you went for it. You came back from it. How was your trip?
I did. It was a great time. It was, as most long weekend trips are, long weekends are too short for vacations.
It's a long weekend and a short vacation.
And, you know, we are recording here on Thursday, and it was literally 1 week ago right now. We were on our way to the airport. So, you know, left, traveled, did our thing, got back, and am now here to talk about it in less than 7 days. But it was a good time. You know, as you know, we heard about Mike's trip just a couple weeks ago, and he had some bumps in the road. We had some bumps in the road, too. I still would rather take a bumpy road at Walt Disney World than a smooth weekend at home. So we'll talk about that, though. But mostly, this trip you're going to hear is really about the good stuff.
Awesome. That's what we're here for.
So I don't often like to document the chronological trip report. That's very well done on another podcast, and actually part of my weekend was with Mike Rommel.
Yes!
So I'll plug the Be Our Guest podcast, as if all of you don't already listen.
Waving to Mike, yeah, no, I'm sure we have people that listen to us and don't listen to Be Our Guest, sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the fantasy football, the only fantasy football podcast for a Disney podcast.
We do have an exclusive tag, don't we? But, you know, it's. I think it's probably best, because it was a shorter trip, just to kind of go that way. So I'll tell you the traveling party, first of all, and the mission, and the real goal of the trip was a Run Disney event. So we were down there for Wine and Dine weekend. And because of that, and because my wife and I were both running the same race, we took along my in-laws. And so the five of us headed to the airport a week ago today, as I said. And we were traveling out Southwest, great flight, everything went very smoothly. I did rent a car. I thought it would just be a good time saver on property and getting to property. So we landed pretty much on time and went to the rental car company. And you know, I will have to say that they upgraded us in what felt like a downgrade.
All right.
I can tell you that it was very busy, just jumping ahead. It was a very, very busy weekend at Walt Disney World, which is exactly why they continue to expand the Run Disney offers.
Yeah.
So what would have probably been a normally busy weekend, because it was the start of the Christmas season at Walt Disney World, it was the end of Food and Wine, so I think that was literally the last weekend. It would have been busy anyway, but it was just a multiple of that because of the race.
There's a reason our last episode was about transitions, folks.
Yeah, and I felt it firsthand through the travel agency, because we had folks that were going down there that booked with us.
Wait, travel agency? What's this?
The Adventures Out There Traveler, who booked my trip and booked some of our friends and you know, fellow travelers that were down there. And I'm pointing that out because we had some folks that were looking for a room at a moderate, and we could not find one. So that gives you a flavor of just how busy it was.
Even the rooms that Mike stayed in Miami at Caribbean Beach. Yeah.
So, you know, there were some cancellations. Things did open up, and thankfully all of our travel friends were successful in their vacationing, in their vacation wants and needs getting met. But the second time I felt the busyness of the weekend was going to the rental car company. We rented a full size that usually works pretty well for the five of us. You know, the only time we really have to deal with the bags is getting to the resort, because when you come home from your resort, you can actually check the bags through the airlines right at your resort and not have to take them with you.
Yeah, you're literally dealing with baggage.
Yeah, you know, obviously Magical Express would have eased that by just taking it right from Hartford for us. But when we went to get a car, you know, I bypassed the line at Alamo, did all the check-in online because we knew exactly where they keep the full-size vehicles. Except when we got there, the entire row was empty.
So did you have a comical...
I had a Seinfeld flashback.
What do you mean you have a reservation?
Anyone can take a reservation. It's really about holding the reservation. Can you keep the... Yeah, they did not keep hold or do anything regarding our reservation.
Wah, wah.
So instead of having a full size, I'm not quite sure what their category is. They assured me it was more expensive. They gave me a Buick Regal.
Well, they could have given you a convertible because that's technically more expensive too, but it only seats two.
Yeah, well, I would have preferred maybe a small SUV at that point, a crossover, a standard SUV, something a little bit. You know, nothing wrong with the Buick Regal. It had some bells and whistles in it. It was certainly an upgraded vehicle. But with a car seat and both my in-laws and the fact that, given my height, the driver's seat is pretty much all the way back, it was a little tight in there. Mm. So, thankfully, we all did carry-on, so we didn't have to wait for luggage. And
where would you put it?
Yeah, the trunk space wasn't bad. We fit four bags back there, the stroller, because we just brought that in case, you know, he's six and walks quite a bit, but walking and then walking around theme parks... Two different
animals.
Yep. Absolutely. So, yeah, everything fit. We got to the resort. It was fine. Check-in was a breeze. Talked to the cast member at check-in. She was running the race as well, so we had a nice dialogue there. They did hook us up with the adjacent rooms that share the door in between. So that was very convenient come race day. And, you know, everything else was pretty mellow that night. So the first real sort of experience we were looking for was Friday. We had signed my son up for a kids race, and the kids races are fantastic. So they really do a nice job, but the challenge you have is if you want to run on Friday, it's not really ideal to come in Thursday night.
Nope.
Because you need to get the packet pickup, even for the kids. You need to get all your bib and your race gear and all that stuff, and then get out to your race.
Well, and where is packet pickup for those of you that assume that our listeners are not Run Disney aficionados?
Yeah, So the way it works is Disney does a fantastic job of plussing up the internal travel system. So you got the regular buses that'll take you to all the theme parks and downtown Disney, all that stuff. But they have coaches that will take you to anything race-related. And packet pickup takes place over at the Wide World of Sports. And they had some scheduling issues. So it was originally supposed to be kids race at 10 with the... Race Expo opening at 9. They moved that. The Expo opened at 10 and the kids' races were pushed to 11. Fine by us. You know, we still took the car. We went over. We parked. We actually queued up, so we're kind of rope-dropping the Expo. We were in line probably by 9:20, and there was a nice chunk of folks ahead of us. We were definitely not among the first in line. And by the time 10 o'clock hit, there was a huge line behind us. So everything for the race, as far as that stuff, picking up your packet, buying anything additional you wanted, that kind of stuff, all took place at the Wide World of Sports. The races themselves were kind of spread out around property. I believe the 5K was Animal Kingdom, which was also Friday morning. The kids' races were right at the Wide World of Sports. The 10K that I ran started and ended in Epcot. And the half marathon, I believe, started at the Wide World of Sports and ended... Is that true? No, I think it's... I saw those queue lines. I'm trying to remember where they were now. Yeah, I think it started at the Wide World of Sports and ended at Epcot.
I think you're right.
So, I don't want to get too deep into all the racy-type stuff. I do want to encourage anyone who's ever been thinking that they might be able to do a race, might be interested. It is for everybody. Now, obviously, if you've never run before, don't sign up for a half marathon. You kind of want to ease into that.
Just go walk 13 and a half miles, no problem.
Yeah. If you're considering a 5K, I think Disney is about as friendly a place as you're going to do it.
I would agree with that.
Folks get nervous about the idea of being swept, and sure, there are some time standards, but you do a lot of walking on your Disney trip. You probably walk at a pretty decent pace when you're trying to get from the front of Epcot over to Soarin and be first in line.
Right.
You extend that a couple of times over, and you're done a 5K, and I'm not exaggerating.
No, and just to talk on that swept thing, that timer for the quote-unquote sweeping people that are too slow starts the instant the last person crosses the start line.
Right, and that's at a 16-minute-per-mile pace, and I've heard that they're relatively generous with that.
Sure.
So they're not literally sitting there with the clock. There are, I believe they call them the balloon ladies. There are some folks that they're carrying balloons around the back of the race. And if they pass you, that's kind of when you're going to get swept.
Yeah.
But there's some cushion with that. They start these races so early because they want them to wrap up before the parks open.
Yep.
So as long as you're really on pace for that, I think they're going to be fine. As far as the actual 10K, I think there was 5 or 6 waves of people. We were in Corral B, so they bucket you by corral, so everyone's not starting all at once.
Is there a golden corral?
I think that's probably Corral A. Mm. That's where the folks don't have a bib number, it's just their name, like Meb.
Mm. Meb. Oh. Nice. Nice reference.
So, yeah, Meb was not running this weekend. But,
no.
There are certainly some folks that are down there to run the race because they like to compete and like to try to win or best their times. Generally speaking, Disney races are not the best for trying to set your own PR, your own personal best time.
Yeah.
Because of the crowds, because of the entertainment, because, by golly, you really just want to stop off and take a picture with a character.
Well, not only that, but I mean, I think that's also something to be said because it is such a beginner-friendly race. You will get people that will walk it quickly. You will get people that will do interval running, walking, running, and that does... Discourage is too strong a word, but for someone who's looking to get a personal best in a race, you may be better suited to try and do that at a race that is more geared towards the quote-unquote serious runner. I am not saying that people that do run Disney are not serious runners.
No, there definitely are some. And the whole point of me even bringing this up is because, you know, part of the Disney vacation experience is people watching.
Yes.
And, you know, as I'm standing there in line, I'm noticing that there are kids as young as probably first or second grade that are going to run races.
The kids race, right?
Is even younger. Yeah, I'm talking about the 5K.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there are folks who are skinny, folks who are heavy, folks who are tall, folks who are short, old, young. I mean, literally, it's just a microcosm of the people who go to Disney World. So don't think that everyone who's standing in line is some sort of collegiate athlete that's going to be out there running a 6-minute mile or faster. I mean, I will tell you, I personally walked almost the entire race.
Nice.
So anyway, the race expo is pretty fantastic. It's not the best expo I've been to, but it's among the best. The organization was pretty good, but this is really where we hit the first sort of stumbling block, if you will. The 10K was the inaugural 10K. The inaugural Wine and Dine 10K, I should say.
Yeah.
So this is the first time this particular weekend had this distance.
Okay.
I know some folks who do marketing.
Ah!
And they probably do a lot of spell check in the work that they do. And so if
I'm going to say yes, but I can't.
If they face a challenging word like inaugural...
Oh, no!
They probably get it right because if they don't know how to spell it, they'll look it up.
The red
squiggle.
It'll
go through... It'll go through a proofing.
Yes.
It'll then go through a second proofing.
Yes.
It'll then get cleared by a manager.
Yes.
And then go to a print company
and
who will probably review
they'll
it.
They'll run a proof. It needs to be checked by the project manager who would get... Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be on the floor of the expo selling the merch.
I saw that.
When folks are Instagramming pictures of inaugural spelled incorrectly.
Yeah, I saw that. That was not good.
So I was a little bummed because I had pre-ordered the pin. At least I'm pretty darn convinced I did. And I didn't get
it. Oh, no.
So they said anyone who did that, they will mail it to you once they get the correct one in. There were stories, and I don't know how true these are, there were stories of folks saying that once the error was discovered, literally on the floor as people were buying things, that managers were taking product out of people's hands and saying, we can't sell that to you.
I'd be surprised if they took it out of hands. I am not surprised if they completely removed the stock as soon as it was discovered by the people there.
Yeah, and that would have been on Thursday because that's when the expo opened. So when we got there on Friday after picking up our packets and stuff, I noticed that there was a very organized design of here's the 5K merch, here's the 10K, here's the half marathon. Where the 10K stuff should have been, they had kind of generic Run Disney.
Huh.
So,
you know, well, there will always there will never be a lack of merchandise.
No, this is true. And, you know, I like to pick up mementos from different races. I like to get the tech shirts, particularly the long sleeve tech shirts. So there was one with inaugural spelled correctly.
Nice.
It was the I Did It shirt that they often have. In proper race etiquette, I did buy the shirt and not wear it until after I was done with the race.
Right.
So I picked that up, you know, picked some other stuff up. Then we went out to the kids' races. And, you know, this is one of those things where it's you never know when you're going to see that sort of emotional moment or that special occurrence that goes on.
And you also don't know when that moment's going to happen because you don't know what is going to be emotional for people.
Exactly. And so being out there with the kids' races, you know, I love seeing little kids wanting to do this stuff.
Yes.
I love seeing the families that sign them up.
They're so determined. I love it.
Yeah, they tier it by age. So there was a 100, a 200, a 400, and a mile, kids' mile.
Well, that's some old people. Oh, that's distance. That's distance. Okay.
So, for anyone who doesn't quite know the distances, a standard outdoor track is a quarter mile, which is a 400 meter. So, my son was in the 200 meter because of his age. And, you know, all the kids that were younger than him, so probably the 4-year-olds, maybe the 5-year-olds, were running the 100. And they all went first, and then the 200 was lined up. And what they did was some kids wanted to run with their parents and some did not. So the kids without parents ran first, and then the kids with parents ran after that.
Kids without parents, the orphans run.
Well, no, what they do is that with the bib, there's a child retrieval tag.
Right.
And so you got to rip that off. You keep that in your pocket. And then if your child ran without you on the course, then at the end of the race, they will not release your child off the race course.
Right.
Until you prove that you are the one who holds that tag.
See, I'd be running as Tony Stark. You got Bruce Wayne, Annie. You can do all kinds of stuff there.
We ran, plenty of orphans to choose from. We ran with a grandmother who was dressed up as Peter Pan, and her granddaughter was Tinkerbell.
Nice.
So definitely costumes encouraged and all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
My son was so focused. Like, he was, he did pretty well in his heat, and he, if he felt the kid coming up on the outside trying to pass him, all of a sudden I noticed he starts going faster. So he probably could have handled the 400, but I think 200 was a great distance for him just because he ran it so hard.
And I know he gets that competitiveness from his mother.
Yes, definitely from his mother. I would have been the one encouraging a costume.
Yes, go dress as the Death Star. It'll be great.
Nothing wrong with
nope.
that. So I should mention, you know, when I mentioned Mike Grauman before, Mike has a running team. I was part of sort of the initial startup of that, and the Be Our Guest Lizards.
Oh, you didn't call them BOGP.
The BOGP Lizards.
BOGP.
The BOGP group. So while we were waiting in line, we ran into some fellow lizards, which was fun, kind of passed the time. And then when we were out with the kids' race, we ran into what I would now just call old friends of ours, Jay and Melissa and their kids.
Yeah.
And their youngest was getting ready for the diaper dash.
Oh.
And she had just turned one. So the diaper dash was the last of the kids' races. But, you know, I was proud of my son and proud of all those other kids running. But the part that was really emotional was there was a child that was there that had braces on both his legs and was running the 200.
Oh, that's awesome.
And to hear the crowd just cheering him on, you know, they have the DJ set up and all that kind of stuff and the race announcers and you know, the race announcer had his name and was cheering him on and, you know, everybody just rallied around this kid to complete his race and it was just amazing. It's one of those things that comes along with a race that you don't know, like you said, you don't know when it's going to happen, you don't know what's going to motivate it, but the pure just delight, enjoyment, encouragement, and camaraderie makes going to these race weekends worth it.
That's awesome.
So we wrapped that up. My son was instantly, you know, puffing his chest out, wearing his medal, taking his pictures, you know, as happy as could be. And I was thinking, God, the lines are probably getting long at the Epcot food. So
you're just sitting there going, oh, what am I? Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, congratulations, kid. Let's talk about it on the way to Epcot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Let's go.
So we did get ourselves over to Epcot. That was sort of our lunch plan. And I had the Tipsy Ducks in Love to celebrate our recommendation of our friend Rhiannon.
Waving at Definite Disney, who does not listen to this podcast.
No, she. I don't even think she listens to her own podcast.
No.
But she was the one who tipped me off, pun intended, to that drink. It's interesting. I don't know what... I mean, I'm a bourbon fan, so the bourbon part of it was excellent.
Right.
I like coffee.
Right.
I like tea.
Right.
I like chocolate syrup.
Right.
I like cream.
Right.
Do I like them all mixed together?
Well, interesting. Yeah.
I think I did.
Okay.
It was pretty good. It's a drink to pass the time by. If I was doing like a drink around the world thing, not the drink I would recommend.
A little heavy.
A little much. I know I texted you the Delta Ray photo.
Yes!
So
who
was set
Delta
up.
Ray?
We did not go back to see Delta Ray at all.
How did they
sound? They sounded very empty to me because they weren't on stage when I was at Epcot.
Because everybody listened to our show and went, who is Delta Ray?
Who?
Yeah.
Sorry, Amy. I know you're a fan. So, the traditional sort of race pregame meal, if you will, a lot of people like to do like the pasta thing, like, hey, let's go carb up. I actually don't really espouse that philosophy, but for fun and because we'd never been there before, I booked a Mama Melrose for Friday night, prepping for our Saturday race. So we made our fast passes for the studios and headed over there after our Epcot time. I think we took a break in between and probably swam a bit, but the weather was fantastic. If I didn't kind of give the generalities there, it was like 80s during the day, low 60s at night.
Yeah, the weather really broke for your guys' race, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm used to the summer humidity, so it felt like barely humid to me. It was definitely humid compared to the Northeast,
for sure.
But it wasn't oppressive. So we went over to the studios. We ran, we did the Toy Story Midway Mania Fast Pass we had, and then we went to Mama Melrose. And we got outside Mama Melrose.
Or did you?
And there were like 6 or 7 cast members standing there. And it's never a good sign when you have, like, that person who's obviously the manager standing outside. Because then you just know something's going on. And trying to put our finger on exactly what was happening, I'm looking down, and, okay, there's something weird. Let me just go check in. And having never been there before, I thought, oh, well, maybe the check-in desk or counter or whatever is outside.
Oh, you've never been there before?
No. So we went to the outside counter. I was like, oh, I'm here for my reservation. And she said, the restaurant's closed. I was like, what? She goes, yeah, the restaurant's closed. I said, but we have an ADR. And she goes, I know, we apologize, but there was a kitchen issue, and so we're not opening today. And, not a big deal to me. I'm fine that they closed it. It was a hassle to get another reservation because you can't cancel a reservation day of without a charge.
Right.
And you can't cancel on the app that close to your time.
Right.
Because we were literally there at 5:40 for our 5:40 reservation.
Yeah. How dare you be on time?
I know, shame on us. So, you know my wife, there was no chance it would be anything
else. Ah, nope.
So,
I bet.
So, the challenge then was like, well, what are we going to do for dinner? Because this was our plan. I have a hungry child. They offered me a 7:30 ADR at Brown Derby.
Nope.
That's not going to work. I'm not waiting 2 more hours.
Not with a 6-year-old.
So, you know what they offered next?
Oh.
Fast passes.
Yeah, we know you can't eat, but please, ride Toy Story Midway Mania and
by
Rock
the
and
way,
Roller Coaster.
No, Rock and Roller Coaster was closed.
Oh, so that's right.
20% of the attractions were down. And yeah, that was just, it was a nice gesture. Again, I know they're doing their best. It's not their fault. But to me, you're Disney. You know that we're staying on property. I have a Magic Band, so you could have possibly had communication like through the app.
Yeah.
You could have called me since you have my cell phone number and my reservation. I mean, they could have emailed at least in the hope that I checked my email.
Yeah.
There's a number of ways that Disney goes about communicating with you.
Yeah.
How could they not take the time to say, by the way, your reservation's getting canceled?
I mean, to the point where, like Mike detailed in the earlier episode, when he got a text from reservations that saying that his room was ready, that comes from Central Reservations. You're telling me that 407 WDW Dine can't contact you to let you know the restaurant's closed?
Right. I mean, they do other ways of messaging you. I even thought, why not when I scan my Magic Band for a Fast Pass, instead of being green to let you in or red saying you're not on time, a different color that and the cast member says, by the way, we have a message for you. And they could just tell me. I mean, there's got to be ways to do
this. When you go to scan your magic band in for admission, this large burger appears. And the cast member at the gate says, oh, we're sorry. You can't eat today.
Well, you know, just Disney has so many ways of scanning your behavior and knowing where you are and how to get to you.
Yes.
You would think this would be an efficient thing for them to try to have ways to tell you that your reservation's canceled.
Yes.
So I went on the app and I tried to book something else, and we found Olivia's had a 6:25. Well, I couldn't book it because it was conflicting with my existing reservation.
Oh, and it won't let you book more than one.
Nope. So as we were walking out, I had to call the hotline. You know, they understood. They took care of it. And then she goes, as I'm trying to make the reservation, well, can you tell me your... I think she wanted, like, my resort reservation number.
Oh.
It's like, I'm in the park. I'm literally disgruntled and walking away from Mama Melrose.
Yes. I'm being turned away from a meal that I wanted.
Oh, and I should give them one more step of credit. After the Fast Pass and after the offer of the wrong cuisine at the wrong time at the wrong price point, they gave us 5 vouchers for quick service
dining. Well, there you go.
So that was at least a valid meal substitution. It's like, hey, you can't have the sit-down dinner you wanted, but here's a free quick service.
Yeah, I mean, because you really wanted ABC Commissary right then.
Yeah, and to wrap up the story on the vouchers, we didn't use them. We didn't want to do that for dinner that night, but we thought maybe we'd use them at a different time.
Are they time sensitive?
And no, they didn't appear to be.
Mm.
So I don't know if they expire ever.
Next trip!
I apparently lost them.
Because no!
I don't know where they are. The Fast Passes were park and time sensitive.
Well, that makes sense. Because they don't want you using them on, like, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train 2 years from now. The meal vouchers are the meal vouchers. It shouldn't matter. You got to find those, dude, because you could use that at Sunset Seasons.
Exactly, but not for breakfast. So, the long story short, we ended up at Olivia's, which is always one of those you can get ADRs, and it's better than people realize.
Never been there.
I was actually, I was pretty pleased with it. They have a fantastic Cobb salad, ironically. Considering they offered me a Brown Derby.
I don't want to go to the Brown Derby. Oh, I'll have the Cobb salad, though.
Maybe it got into my head, because that's what I ended up ordering. So, if anyone is familiar with the Run Disney schedule, the 5:30 is the start time for the 10K. And that's pretty common for a lot of the distances.
Yeah.
5:30, 5:40. They tell you, they being Disney, if you're not on a bus, and I recommend highly you take the bus to the race and not necessarily drive yourself. If you're not on a bus by 4, they don't guarantee you being there at the start.
And don't try walking.
And please don't walk. So we got on the 3:30 bus, and it was funny. We got up, we got ready. My son actually did wake. I got him, you know, and said, hey, mother-in-law, put him back to sleep.
Look at you!
So, because she got up too. I was like, I don't know why.
Why are you awake?
It's like, it's 2:15 in the morning. Go to sleep. But we got outside, it was about 3:25, and it was a ghost town in front of French Quarter.
Hmm. See, that would give me pause.
Yeah, I was kind of like, oh, maybe we didn't have to get up this early. So we see the coach bus in front of the resort, and we walk over, and I get on the bus. There was about 4 seats left.
Wow. Oh, so it was empty because everybody was already on the bus.
Yeah, I thought I was the one, like, being really early, being out there. No, that bus was, like, ready to leave.
We're late.
We were one of the last couple to get on the bus, and then it took off at 3:30 as scheduled.
Nice.
And got us over there. We got through all the race stuff. You know, we don't do bag check when we go to the races. It's just not worth it to us.
Yeah.
And we were going to get in line for some pictures. So the two-race challenge, if you ran the 10K and the half, was the Lumiere challenge.
Okay.
So Lumiere was there taking pictures.
Okay.
The 10K was sponsored by Remy and Emil. Well, more Remy than Emil, I think. But so Remy and Emil were there for a photo together.
Nice.
For Remy's race. And then because it's his park, Mickey Mouse was there. We got in line for the Remy and Emil photo. We were there about 10 minutes, and a cast member came by and said, just so you know, Remy is going to be stepping out from not taking photos at 5 o'clock. And if you don't make it, he'll be back after the race.
Mm.
But we're not... You're at a point in line where we're not guaranteeing that you're going to see him.
Right.
Now, remember, I was on a 3:30 bus.
Yes.
They dropped us off at probably 3:37.
Yes.
Because we went directly to Epcot.
Yes.
We basically walked directly in and got in this line.
Yes.
That's how many people were already there because they got up at, for like the 3 o'clock buses.
Yeah.
So we stepped out of line.
Or they drove themselves.
There definitely were some folks that drove themselves. But the reason they say not to is just because it is dominated by bus traffic, and those roads can get pretty congested.
Yeah, and something I didn't share when we were talking about the earlier, you know, like Mike's deal with the Run Disney, or actually yours. When my wife's last Run Disney marathon, the one that was held earlier in the year, after they, you know, before they moved it back a little bit to make it its own weekend, I was on one of the later buses to hope to catch the beginning of the race, and we got caught in traffic, and I was not able to catch the beginning of the race. I did get off the bus, walk on the grass all the way to the monorail to catch the monorail to the Magic Kingdom to maybe catch my wife at the Magic Kingdom. So that has happened where, to your point, they will close down traffic at some point. They will only let buses in, but they were prioritizing buses with runners. And I was most certainly on a bus that was a spectator because I think the race at that time let off, I think, at 5:30-ish. That sounds right.
That's probably true.
So I probably caught the bus at 5.
Yeah, at that point, they assumed runners have been told to be there, you know, no later than 4 for a bus,
right.
So they're not
going
to prioritize
you. And my wife did get up at, you know, 3:30 or whatever it was to catch the bus. That wasn't a problem for her. Again, it was not a priority for me to be anywhere. I just wanted to maybe get pictures, maybe of her, but mostly of the start and all that stuff. I missed that. I did get basically a monorail entirely to myself, however, which was
nice.
Really neat.
That's definitely more prevalent with the marathon,
yeah,
because they shut down roads.
Yeah.
So the normal getting about property is not as convenient or as easy because they close off. It's not like some local races where they might monitor the road with police and, you know, kind of stop the traffic,
right,
to let people through.
Right.
They literally shut down the roads.
Yes. Yeah, just nope. Road's closed.
Yeah. There's only a little bit of road action on this 10K, so it probably was less impactful.
Mouse up front should have told you.
But, you know, we decided not to stay in that line for that photo and met up with some of our fellow lizards. That's when I was chit-chatting with Ramen quite a bit. So we, it passes the time to meet up with folks, talk with friends, catch up with people you haven't seen in a while. I live tweeted the mile markers as I went through them. So if you want to see what each of the pictures are, the way Disney races do, that, you know, they have large boards that mark the miles. This particular time, they were themed by the countries. Let's see, France, Scotland, Spain, those were the first three. Canada was 4. I have no idea what this is for 5. Looks like dessert.
Yeah, I saw that post. Like, what country is that?
Yeah, and 6 is champagne. So maybe it's more about the food booths and not the countries.
So it wasn't like cheddar cheese soup and pretzel bread?
Yeah, let's see. On the Canada one, let's see, there's a glass of wine.
No.
There's a picture of a... Well, that's weird. It's a picture of, like, a U.S. government building. Yeah. I see some bread.
Okay, someone just went heavy on, like, Google image search and just put whatever they could find.
And maybe a steak down there.
Oh, there's a steak!
But, yeah, Disney has those as, you know, and a lot of folks like to stop and take their picture with the mile marker. I saw a lot of selfies going on. And then in between those, you might have a water stop here and there. There was a handful along the course for this, the 10K.
Mm-hmm.
Not 10 miler, 10K.
No.
And,
there's a difference.
Yeah, when there wasn't a mile marker and there wasn't a water stop, there was often entertainment. And entertainment could have been in the form of live music. There were a couple DJs along the way. Hmm. Entertainment could have been in the form of stilt walkers, like I saw backstage at Epcot. Entertainment could have been in the form of character meet and greets. And that was anything from, I saw Mary Poppins penguins to a oversized Sebastian that I believe used to be part of like a parade.
Oversized Sebastian. Yeah. I think that,
yeah, it was
Remember
like
Dreams Come, no, not Remember Dreams Comes True. No, yes. I think I remember that parade.
Yeah. Saw Flick come out. There was a bunch. And then, you know, of course, there's so many supportive cast members, volunteers, family members that are out with signs. There was a family that was handing out Twizzlers somewhere along mile 5.
That's just fun.
To kind of push you over the edge getting into the getting into Epcot. I mean, it was great. It's such a fun experience, and it's really it's a nice payoff if you actually follow a training plan and you put in the time. And I'm saying that because I really didn't do a good job. you know, it's a nice it's a nice way to culminate your... You know, this is more than just a one-day experience for most people.
Gotcha.
You know, most people aren't just going to wake up that, you know, say, hey, let me just go run 6 miles.
Yeah.
You know, they're gonna build up to it. Even the accomplished runners are maintaining their pace, maintaining their time, their athleticism, their efforts. And you know, it's a nice way to finish that up by having a really high-energy, high-spectated race.
Yeah.
Although, you know, after you're done... The sun's not up yet.
No.
So it's still the morning. So we actually got back to French Quarter. I should talk a little bit about French Quarter in a little while. We got back to French Quarter, showered, and rope dropped Epcot. So it was kind of fun. Like, got this whole race in, had this whole, what was essentially, by the time we rope dropped Epcot, I had already been up 7 hours.
Right.
But, you know, it was fun. We took some medal pictures together, had a few cocktails, got myself my first Mickey bar. Wore the 10K.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit.
The Mickey bar?
Yes. What were your thoughts? This is your first time. Now, folks, Dean has been to Walt Disney World more times than he has digits. This is his first time enjoying a premium Mickey bar.
Yeah, I'd say, let's see, my first trip to Disney was 16 years ago. We've been probably, you know, it's definitely 20 plus at this point. Yeah. We tried to go twice a year.
More than you have digits.
So definitely digits plus.
we're not talking plus. This is a family trip.
I'm trying to tally how many trips my son was talking about. I think this is his eighth or ninth.
Wow.
And he's six.
And he also had.
And he had his first Mickey bar.
So tell me about, you know, I mean.
Right, so here's the story. Yeah, I'll give you the story.
Give me the story, because, I mean, I walked literally 8 miles round trip in Hilton Head to get a Mickey bar.
So, you know, I am not the healthiest eater in the world.
No.
But I do try to skew healthy.
You do. Well, so, it helps when your wife is constantly finding things to put kale in.
Yeah, she's good at kale. So, you know, she does most of the cooking, so, you know, that alone will keep us on the healthy side.
Yes.
I fall down because I'll have a cocktail here or there, and we go out to eat way more than we should. But, you know, when we're home, we eat healthy. And my son, other than the addiction to chicken nuggets, like most of
yes, it's like ingrained.
Yeah, he tends to eat on the healthy side, too. So, it's like his go-to treat down at Walt Disney World are those fruit bars on a stick.
Yeah.
They have the strawberry ones, the mango ones. They've now gotten a little bit less healthy because they have like an Olaf lemonade one. But he still loves the strawberry fruit bar. Yeah. So
Welch's, you can get them at BJ's or Costco.
Yeah, exactly. So we're at one of those bars. He's going to get a strawberry fruit bar. And I noticed that at the same place they sell strawberry fruit bars, they sell Mickey bars. So I said, you know what? I got to get one.
Yes, you do. Because I got to tell you, I was going to give you so much grief if you came back.
Oh, you were my motivating factor. So... I get the Mickey bar, he gets the fruit bar, and you know he's happy as a clam eating his fruit bar, and I take a selfie with the Mickey bar, send you the picture.
Yes!
It is a delicious, thicker-than-expected layer of chocolate.
Isn't it?
With a good, quality, creamy, premium vanilla ice cream in there.
Yep.
I got the second bite into the first ear, and all of a sudden, maybe 15 seconds later, my son is double-fisting dessert. Because he's got... Daddy, can I take a bite? He's got the bar in his left hand. He's got the Mickey bar in his right hand. He's as happy as can be. Oh,
that's fantastic. It really is. I think that's what sets it over. Because, yes, I mean, you can get ice cream bars anywhere. You can get chocolate-covered vanilla ice cream nearly every place that sells ice cream. And it's not even so much that the ice cream is so much better than other ice cream bars. I mean, you know, you get a Dove ice cream bar and all that stuff, whatever. The chocolate layer is easily twice as thick as you're expecting.
Right, and it doesn't have that crispy crack
chocolate.
It's much more of a rich, sink your teeth into chocolate.
Yes, and I think that's what really sets it over the edge. You know, a lot. It kind of is a microcosm of why we love Disney so much. It's just a little bit more than you're expecting. Yeah,
it's plussed up, yeah, like Walt would
it
want.
It is plus. So thank you, A, for sending me the text, which I believe I texted immediately back.
Yeah, you did.
Yes! That's awesome. So thank you for sharing that. And yes, I did walk 4 miles one way, 4 miles the other way in Hilton Head from our resort to the Disney Vacation Club just to get a Mickey bar.
You could have done that just staying at Caribbean
Beach. My wife... in the Miami building. My wife said, "You're really doing this?" I said, "Look, if I'm going to walk 8 miles, I may as well get a Mickey Premium ice cream." She goes, "That's a good point."
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's definitely a fair point.
And I got to spend 2 hours just walking. You know, it's good.
It's nice. You could have done the 10K.
It's more than a 10K.
Yeah, way more than a 10K.
It's like 2 miles more than a 10K.
That's only 6.2. You went for 8.
Yes.
So the rest of the time at Epcot was really just about enjoying the food booths, kind of making our way around. I peeked at the Frozen ride. It was down. We didn't have a fast pass for it anyway. Yeah. You know, our fast passes were Soarin', Mission Space, and we did not even use our Spaceship Earth one. My son loves Mission Space.
I love Mission Space.
I do too. And you know, I remember riding it orange style.
Yeah.
And getting pretty nauseous.
Yeah.
And it's a tough ride.
It is.
It's a shame because I love space, love outer space, love that whole concept, you know, astronauts, etc. So now they have the green one. It's definitely worth people's time. And I think it's just one of those underappreciated attractions. A lot of folks just have this negative opinion of it and don't even consider it anymore. And that's a shame.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, it's got good educational value, but it also has really good entertainment value.
I think one of the things really that I think puts it into a negative light in a lot of guests' minds is it does have a lot of factors that people find distasteful. It's closed in. You're in the dark. It's a centrifuge. It spins. I can't get out. I don't like shoulder restraints. It's a simulator. It's screen-based. You know, there are so many things that maybe one or two people will go, whatever, I'll just try it. You know, like Soarin'. Soarin's a screen, and you have, you know, restraints. Big deal. But it doesn't spin. At no point do you feel like you're going to die. You know.
It smells really good.
It smells really good. But I think all of those things put together, plus the negative press from people that have unfortunately passed away due to pre-existing conditions and not heeding the safety warnings, which they may as well just put a lawyer at the beginning of the ride, getting you to sign a waiver before you go on. Yeah. But I love Mission Space. My daughter, her first opportunity when she was tall enough to ride it, we rode orange. Of course, she's a coaster junkie. But my wife will never ride it because of most of the features that I talked about. She can't do, you know, motion simulators. She would never be able to do Star Tours, for example, just because she can't. She physically can't. So even the green for her would be too much. But
yeah, and my mother-in-law sat out for those exact reasons. Yeah. My father-in-law went on it, and my son is probably not ready to try orange, so we all went on the green side.
Yeah. And I like that it's the gateway Mission Space.
I appreciate that it opens the ride up to a much larger audience.
Yes.
By having that side available.
And I did ride Mission Space, I want to say, in its first 2 months of operation. So I got to ride before they went into orange and green. But I also got to ride the far more realistic G-forces on takeoff and when you do the slingshot around the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to experience that as well. And I remember my wife going to the gift store and getting around afterwards.
Yes. Yes. They're like, what ride has air sickness bags in the ride and also has Dramamine after the ride?
Exactly. So it's fun, though. And, so if you've never tried it, I would definitely encourage people to try the green side.
Yep.
You don't want to go for the full experience with the spinning and the orange and all that. That's fine. Just try the green side.
Try the green side. And I've often told people who ask me, do you think it's too intense? If they have ridden Everest and they can handle the backwards part of the ride on Everest, you may be able to do orange because it's kind of similar.
Yeah, just kind of longer with that feel.
It is. It is. You're right. And it's funny because it feels like forever. It's probably about 5 seconds.
Yeah, it does feel like forever.
You're like, though, man, how big is this ride? Yeah.
So that was good. I don't want to get into too many of the food items per se, but it was typical. I didn't find anything that really jumped out at me as a new must-do.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't visit every booth. I mean,
no.
This was Friday noontime, and there were lines easily would have taken 20, 25, 30 minutes.
I don't remember from Twitter hearing as much about the week that you were there with regard to the lines and closing due to capacity like Mike had. But that does sound similar with regard to the food and wine booth. Right, okay.
Yeah, that would have been Saturday. We went back on Saturday.
And it was like that.
To wrap up the Epcot portion. We took the car. We were there for lunch. We got parked in the last row on the grass line from where cars were pulled in. Later that day, the parking lot was
closed. You were closer to the Magic Kingdom than Epcot.
Yeah, basically.
Where did you have lunch?
I had lunch split between Mexico's booth, the New Zealand booth, the Australia booth.
Nice.
So a little bit, you know, that was our goal, was to kind of like, who wants to eat here? Go hop in line. Okay, we're going to go a few booths ahead. Because the lines are that long, it kind of separates your group.
Yeah, particularly if you want to experience different things.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have to. You know, if I've been there on weekdays, not in a race weekend type situation, where it's very easy to just stay together, go to this booth, you get your item, immediately walk over to another booth, I get my item, and then we go eat together.
Right.
This was definitely, you know, the shorter lines were 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah. Pull up a trash can.
Yeah. They had more, it seemed like they had more seating.
Did they have the high top tables out?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And I think that helps. Yes. But you'd see groups of 8, 9, 10 people together trying to squeeze their items onto one high top table.
That's hard.
When we went back Saturday, the pork sliders, I think it's the Hawaii booth, is kind of like right near the entrance into World Showcase.
Okay.
The line for the pork slider booth was all the way back basically to the Agent P mission booth that's in Future World. Yeah.
And that's like the Spaceship Earth mentality. Oh, it's here. Let's get in line for it.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, we had come from the far side, and the lines back there were easily half hour to get your food.
And that makes it tough to do things that I've only done Food and Wine once, so I have a very limited experience with it. But my favorite meal, quote unquote, that I had at Food and Wine was getting the pierogies and kielbasi from the Poland and having a margarita with it. You couldn't wait in both of those lines with how you're expressing it.
No, and actually what happened was, so when we went to Mexico, I grabbed the margarita.
Right.
And when we finally got over to the Poland booth, I did grab the kielbasa.
Right, but you couldn't have both at the same time.
But you would not have had both at the same time.
Your margarita would be warm, or if you were coming from the other way, your kielbasa and pierogi would be gone.
Exactly, and that's, you know... Margarita was gone quickly because I got the Tipsy Ducks in Love, which that was lasting, and then we got around, and I forgot that we did stop at the Poland booth as well.
So. That has to linger. Not to get back to Tipsy Duck in Love, I have to think that aftertaste lingers.
It does. It does, because tea has sort of that lingering effect in your mouth.
Coffee has a lingering effect.
As does coffee, so it's...
Might need to get a Grand Marnier slushy to wash that taste out with.
Yeah, not a bad
one. Mm.
Went with champagne. So we wrapped up Epcot, and again, it was just starting to get oppressively crowded. And that was not nearly as bad as what it was Saturday.
Right.
So Friday, we did Friday launch, talked about the race. So Saturday we went back, talked about that. Move on to Saturday night, we decided that would be a good time to get over to Animal Kingdom. And we wanted to hit all four parks, first of all, and we only had three-day hoppers. So Friday was Epcot Studios, Saturday was Epcot and Animal Kingdom, and Sunday was Magic Kingdom. Mm. And the Animal Kingdom was... I've never really gone into the park this late in the day. So it was kind of a neat experience to show up there at 4 o'clock or so, because the vast majority of people are leaving.
Oh, yeah.
That's not normal... Like, if you show up at Magic Kingdom at 4 o'clock, sure, there's people leaving because, you know, they're coming out from the 3 o'clock parade being over, and that's, like, their benchmark to leave or whatever. Right. But there's just as many people coming in with you. Showing up to Animal Kingdom at 4 o'clock, and it closed 8:30 that day, there's just nobody else with it. I mean, we walked right through security. There was no line. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, don't normally see that, especially on a weekend.
Well, and that's the weird thing about Animal Kingdom, too, because there is no parade to be kind of that delineation of, all right, parade's over, let's go back to the room, take a nap, swim, get changed for dinner, that kind of thing. Animal Kingdom is just like, okay, park's open, and park's closed.
Yeah.
You know, but until Rivers of Light opens, until, Avatar Land opens, until, you know, I guess you could do the tree light thing, but that's got to be close to park close anyway. You know,
it is close to park close, and it's not very long.
No, so it's not like, and there's multiples, if I remember correctly, from what you were telling me before.
Yes.
So it's not like something that, okay, we saw the tree, okay, we're going to go. Well, it's 7:30. You're already done.
So yeah, that, and I think that's a good point. I think it's, you know, I think at that point what folks are saying is if they're park hopping,
yeah,
you know, I have something else to go get to.
Right.
So most people are not going to park hop
to Animal Kingdom, right?
Mm-hmm. You're park hopping to just a closure.
The only time,
whereas you might want to park hop to the castle lighting show, or you might want to park hop to Illuminations, that kind of thing.
And this is a very specific, for instance, my wife and I wanted to go to Sanaa. We park hopped to Animal Kingdom for the last 2.5 hours one night, and then we went to Animal Kingdom Lodge and Kenani Village for Sanaa. We did that for a proximity standpoint because we were staying at Boardwalk. We needed to go through somewhere else anyway on the bus. So we may as well use some time and be in the park. That's not going to work, you know, for most people.
No, just that, I mean, that makes sense. It's so point being then, the crowds were pretty quiet.
Yeah.
The lines were down. Dinosaur was down, so we didn't ride that.
Man.
But my son loves the Boneyard.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, going back, every park, at least 3 of the 4 parks, had a major attraction down.
Right.
So Big Thunder was closed for refurb.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaur was closed for refurb. Mm-hmm. And Rock and Roller Coaster was closed for refurb. And one of the water parks was closed. So,
because that starts, middle of October, I think they closed. Was it Blizzard Beach that was closed?
I forget which one was closed. We didn't look that deep into it. I just thought
because it was closed. Why would you go?
Because we didn't. We were not planning a water park at all.
No.
I just happened to be watching the TV channel that, you know, scrolls through like park hours and things to do.
Not enough time.
Noticed that one of the two was closed.
Not enough time.
But yeah, the Boneyard had a section that we haven't often seen open, which is kind of cool.
Hmm.
There's a bridge that actually goes back over the walk path,
yeah.
So you can look down on the folks heading into Dinoland. Mm-hmm. The last couple times we've been there, that bridge has been closed. So my son was very excited to explore
So it's like over, was it Trilobites or
Trinidad
on Fries? Whatever's there, I can't remember.
Yeah. So normally you kind of get stopped right before you can cross the bridge.
Yeah.
This time he was actually able to go up there, play, cross the bridge. That's where the actual digging for bones is on the other side.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then my daughter has been over there. Okay, yes.
Yeah, a lot of times that's not open.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I thought that was kind of neat. You know, he played there. My father-in-law and mother-in-law decided not to go into the Boneyard. You know, parents are certainly welcome in there.
Yeah, but it's...
I would encourage it, personally.
Yeah.
But it does get crowded. Kids are running around crazy. I'm convinced they just wanted to go have a cocktail.
Wow, that's not bad.
But, you know, the problem for them is the Dawa Bar is down in Africa. Not in Dinoland.
No.
So they had to find something else.
There should be a song about that.
Someone should write that. And so, you know, he wrapped up there. He, you know, as most kids would, did not want to leave the
park. No! And that's...
Go to a boring dinner.
Yeah, come
but
on.
But we had an ADR. We had a Yak and Yeti ADR. So we had to get there. And again, a Yak and Yeti is owned by the same folks who own T-Rex and Rainforest.
Yes. Landry's.
And so... Landry's, right. So I think you have to kind of get past that because, you know, it's like saying I'm not going to go to Fleming Steakhouse because they own Outback.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different level of restaurant.
Yeah.
It's not overly themed with animatronics and loud noises and kids running around everywhere.
No, not you.
It's actually a pretty good meal.
Unless you were, like, paying attention and, you know, like, read online or all this other stuff, you'd never know that it was not a Disney-operated restaurant within the theme park.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And it's very different from the Rainforest Cafe, which is at the front of the park.
Right.
And I got to tell you, too, you can join up for free the Landry's Club, and you can get points and redeem points at Yak and Yeti.
Absolutely, yeah, and I wish I could find my card. We were Safari Club members when it first opened here in West Hartford.
Yep.
It's since closed. But yeah, we signed up right away, and so we do have that. And I just sent you a picture of the burger I ordered.
Oh, I gotta look.
And
I gotta look.
I know it's weird to go to an Asian-themed restaurant and order a burger,
no.
But this is an Asian-themed burger. It's a monster.
Oh, hello. That is.
Look at that monster.
That's easily a 3/4-pound burger.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. And to describe it, you should put this up on Instagram when the show drops. Your side salad's kind of funny.
It's a little cucumber salad.
But the burger is larger than the basket of fries.
And the basket of fries was rather generous.
Yes, it is. And the burger's larger than your what appears to be a 24-ounce glass of water.
Yeah. It's a very good size burger.
That's a big burger.
And the burger itself is fantastic. Again, the accompaniments that came with it made it on the salty side.
Sure.
So you know, a lot of soy sauce type stuff going on there because it's still Asian.
Well, that's the Asian part. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So just be prepared for that if you decide to order it. But yeah, that's, you know, I am on the quest to try the burgers on property. Still, nothing touches the Raglan Road burger.
No.
But this one was really good. And you know, the menu otherwise has Indian flair, some Asian flair. What?
I've been to Raglan Road probably more times than you've been to Walt Disney World. I have never gotten the burger there.
Oh, you gotta get the burger.
I can't not get what I always get, though.
Let me see if I took a picture of that.
Oh,
burger.
Send it. I mean,
I didn't take a picture of that. I could probably look back on past trips.
Oh, sure. Pick
burger,
but yeah, I always end up getting, you know, there's the Dalkey Duo, there's the Guinness Stew, there's, you know, all the, you know, the fish and chips, of course. You know, I'm typically getting the beer samplers. From time to time, I'll throw a Shandy in there. I'm my own worst enemy because I know how great they are, and I have to save room for Gur's bread and butter pudding at the end.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's the problem with a place like Raglan Road, is I feel like I need to go a couple of times in one trip.
Yeah.
Because I need to go back there and get the burger.
To get it out of your system.
And I just sent you, and you're jumping ahead to Sunday.
I'm sorry.
Just sent you the picture. I just sent you the picture of my appetizer from Sunday.
Oh, let's see. Is it? Yes! Yeah. Yeah, we'll get this up on Instagram too.
Yeah, so the beer sampler was my appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very good. The one on the right is actually a cider.
Yeah.
So it was, I think it was strawberry and lime or something like
that. They call their two samplers they have standard. And I can't for the life of me remember the name of them right now. That's like the Imperials and the Horsemen or something like that.
Yeah, this is the second one.
Yes.
That's helpful.
Yeah, I've gotten them both, clearly.
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, you know, that is the blessing and the curse of going to Walt Disney World, in my case, less often lately. But when you do keep going back to the places that you love, yeah, it's really hard to try something new.
Right, and that's what I fall into. So, you know, part of why I wanted to go to places like Mama Melrose is because I've never been there
right.
before. It's like a new experience because I knew, you know, I'm sitting there at Raglan Road and you know, God, we must have had the menus in our hands 10
It doesn't 15, matter.
And it wasn't the server's fault. It's because we kept sending him away because he was fantastic. But it's like, I just couldn't come to a conclusion.
I know.
And that's why, you know, I joked that sampler was, you know, originally my drink when he first came to order, but it actually ended up being my appetizer.
It works out that way, yeah.
I pretty much finished it before I ordered my meal.
Yeah, bangers and mash. Oh, so good.
But yeah, to not get the stew hurts, to not get the fish and
the
chips
pork,
hurts.
The pork chops there are fantastic, you know, if you haven't gotten those.
I haven't gotten those.
Yeah, the,
so many good options.
Yeah, the other thing that, and it's funny that you talked about you wanted to try Mama Merlo's for a new thing. That is always what we would do to get the Fantasmic dinner package. We would eat at Mama Melrose. So we go to the later Fantasmic when they had the two showings. So we would eat dinner at like a quote unquote regular reasonable hour, like at 5:30. And we would, so Mama Melrose became the, oh my God, we have to go back to Mama Melrose again. But it's mainly because when we have young kids, we didn't want to go into Brown Derby. And we also did not want to get a buffet.
Yeah,
so that kind of limited our choice.
Limited.
Yeah. but yeah, so I mean, it's really funny how studios now with nothing open attraction wise, the food still there is fantastic. For, you know, from a sit down, if we're going with my father-in-law, Sci-Fi Dine-In must be on the menu, must. Because he's
And I texted you guys when we had the Mom Melrose issue, and Mike's, you know, texting saying, "Hey, go to 50s."
Yeah.
I'd love to.
Oh yeah, because he's a big 50s fan, and I'm a big Sci-Fi fan. But you could
and
not.
You're telling me go to
Sci-Fi.
I'd go to either of them, but they were both booked solid.
You couldn't do it.
I was surprised they wouldn't disperse us and just overbook those places.
Yeah, well, but yeah,
would have been nice because I 50s is actually one of those restaurants I've never been to. In Sci-Fi, I do actually enjoy. Yeah. So either would have been a nice alternative.
Yeah.
Brown Derby 2 hours later.
I feel like they might have overbooked you, but they would have overbooked you as they did to either Brown Derby, which they did, or to Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah. So the just recapping Yak and Yeti, you know, everything we had there was really good.
Sorry, big tangent.
I know. The menu has some Indian, like my wife got chicken tikka masala. Mm. It has some Asian. We had a sushi roll appetizer. We also got a like a dim sum appetizer, so I had like steamed dumplings, steamed gyozas, that kind of thing. So it definitely has some Asian and an Indian influence, as well as a really good burger. So we wrapped up our evening. I don't recommend eating an appetizer, a dinner, a couple of cocktails, and then immediately getting on Expedition Everest.
No!
But that's what I did.
Oh.
So we didn't have a fast pass. My son really wanted to go on it. I told him 20 minutes or less, we'll stay. If it's over 20 minutes, we're not going to stay because we want to get out of the park, yada, yada, yada. Yep. So we get to the sign, 25 minutes.
Oh, no. And then you get
sorry,
the
buddy. I go, sorry, buddy, can't stay. You know what he says to me?
What?
I kid you not. Dad, you know at Disney they post it longer than it is, so what happened? It's going to be less than 20. I swear to God.
Has he been listening to podcasts?
Damn, I've taken you here too often.
That's fantastic.
And sure enough, I clocked it. We were in our seat with the coaster ready to start in 14 minutes.
Oh, I love your kid.
Yeah, he's too darn smart for his own good.
Or your own good.
My own good for sure. So it was a good ride, you know, as it always is. I'm going to send you one more photo, which is really helpful for our fans.
It will be up on the Instagram feed.
Oh, but this was our photo as we got on Expedition.
Maybe
Everest.
This one won't be on the Instagram. waiting. That's up to you as to whether or not it's on the Instagram feed.
So we did the pretend scare face.
Oh, that's funny. You look like Mike McBride.
That's a compliment or not. But it was fun. It was a good time.
That's good.
So we decided to go back and kind of enjoy the resort after that. Again, Animal Kingdom closed at 8:30. We didn't stay there nearly that late.
Right.
Now, before I leave Animal Kingdom for good, I want to point out that the Disney community has often... What's the right word? You know, we criticize the removal of live music throughout the parks. I don't know if folks understand just how many live music offerings there are at Animal Kingdom. And some of them pop up out of nowhere. Not everything's going to be on your times guide. And one of them that we saw was a harpist playing over on the pathway as you're heading toward... It's basically across from the barbecue place.
Sure.
What an amazing, amazing, amazing... instrumentalist he was. Just powerful, powerful music created by his instrument. It was fantastic. We stood there mesmerized for at least two songs, and then my son was pulling on my arm saying, let's go dig. So we had to get to the Boneyard. But, between him, some of the music that's in Harambe Marketplace, and, in the village there, I know we're always running. Everybody wants to get to Everest and get to the safari, etc. But there's a lot of other stuff that can entertain you as you're walking through the pathways at Animal Kingdom. And I really encourage people to give those a shot.
I didn't even know that a harpist was there.
Yeah, I've never seen him before. There is a bit of a stage area set up there. So I wonder if they just rotate through what the performances are going to be. But worth looking into. So I should mention that, so we were... I already talked about the race, talked about Saturday, everything we did. Got my son to bed early. We actually went back out because, nothing says, hey, let's stay out tonight late, like waking up at 2 in the morning for a Disney race.
Yes.
So, I can't even name everybody that we ran into, so I apologize. I'm sure I'll miss people. But, we saw the folks in line when we were getting our bibs, and we saw Rallman and crew when we did pre-race. When we went to Disney Springs on Saturday night,
I
met up with folks at Jock Lindsay's.
Awesome.
Which was awesome, because I had not been in there yet. I've seen it a couple of times, and I peeked my head in once, but this was the first time we actually went in for a drink, which was really fun. So, you know who was there, actually?
No.
Both co-hosts of the FitMouse podcast.
What?
For real.
Well, I know Becca, one of them definitely was going to be there.
Yeah, Becca and Marcy were both there. I hadn't seen Marcy since we did a Muppet meetup back in, 2009 or 2010. when they were doing that touring Muppet show up in Boston.
This is
area.
A Muppet news flash.
Yeah, so it was cool. We saw Todd and Cheryl Perlmutter and our friend Mendy and Mendy's mom, who's just awesome. So
she's got it going on.
Terrible. So we had a really good time. There is some, what do you want to call it? Not animation, but there's some interaction.
There you go.
That goes on while you're there. So you just kind of have to listen for it. And at that time of night, there was too much going on outside at Disney Springs, live music, etc. So you couldn't hear some of it, but the lights were flickering. We were on the boat section of Jack Lindsay's.
That's my parents sat out there.
Yeah, so that was really cool. We
Reggie.
Had a lot of fun. Yeah. So we were on the Reggie, and the lights flicker, and there's some discussion that you can't hear because it was too loud, but someone was telling me that, you know, there's some thematic stuff going on. So really good time, really fun to meet up with folks, and we had a good time hanging out. I think we were out till probably about 11 that night, which doesn't really sound that late until you realize that means 21 straight hours of being on the go at Disney.
That's a lot, but awesome that you got to go to Jack Lindsay's. I'm jealous.
So this takes us to Sunday, and Sunday was really our Magic Kingdom day, and that was our main focus. And again, you know, our goal was to not just do our usual rides and attractions, but really take in that transition. So the Christmas decoration, I didn't actually make it into the boardwalk as we had kidded about. But nothing running around the boardwalk suggested anything decor that was going on there yet at any of the resorts.
Interesting.
Magic Kingdom, when you pull into the toll booth to pay your parking fee, already had wreaths outside. And it just continued on from there. You know, the whole front landscape area was decked out for the holidays. They had trees in the front areas. Main Street was absolutely gorgeous. Everything red and green. Mm-hmm. Lots of lighting. And the sort of the payoff of the night was the castle lighting show.
Ah, yes.
And funny story about that. So we had booked Raglan. We talked a bit about Raglan, so I won't go too far into that meal. But we had booked Raglan as our dinner, and I booked it for 4 o'clock. And my goal was to make it back to Magic Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really have a plan other than I know that if we made it a dinner reservation any later, we probably would have just mailed it.
Yes.
I just know our behaviors on vacation. So, you know, we had a great breakfast before we went into Magic Kingdom that day. The Grand Floridian Cafe, another one of those, like Olivia's, sort of underutilized restaurants that you can usually get an ADR at. Fantastic breakfast. And what a tremendous cast member. Riz was our server, Marissa. And my wife accidentally broke a champagne glass. I mean, she was on top of that. She made sure my son had sprinkles on his Mickey pancake, as she promised him, you know, brought him. I mean, she was just on top of everything. She had that classic Disney charm that you kind of miss from the old days, so to speak.
Sure.
You know, sometimes the whole playing of, okay, princess, you know, thank you. I don't even know what she was calling. I guess Prince, what she was calling my son. You know, that kind of stuff, I think, plays thin on some people.
Yeah.
I like it. It's fun.
I like
you know,
it. Yep.
It's part of the Disney charm.
It definitely works with Cinderella's Royal Table.
Absolutely. So, you know, it worked well in this setting as well. Grand Floridian Cafe is actually a very beautiful space.
Yeah.
And they're on Sunday, they were doing more of a brunch offering. I've seen their breakfast menu. I kind of prefer that better.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really need an offering of steak or ham or anything like that.
Oh, come on, steak.
Yeah, not at 7:45 in the morning.
Just what you need, a giant meal to start off your day.
Yeah. So, you know, the vanilla bean French toast was plenty enough for me, and the mimosa was delicious. So just wanted to point that out because that was a good meal. Mm. So Magic Kingdom. So we did the morning thing, headed out somewhere post-lunch, and said, hey, let's go pack up everything. Let's be ready to leave Monday morning because we had a 10:30 flight, which means heading to the airport somewhere, you know, about 8 o'clock or so.
You're heading in 10:30 flight. Sorry.
So let's get everything ready, and then we can, after dinner, get right back to the theme parks and not have to worry about packing up. So that's what we did. We packed up midday, again, took advantage of some of the offerings at the resort, kept my son entertained, etc. The Raglan meal went without hit problem. You know, we went around downtown a little bit. The amount of construction in and around Disney Springs area, and I'm talking massive construction, creating new exits off the highway and turning that into a 6-lane road.
Capital improvements.
Yes, it is enormous what's going on. I mean, it was big in July. There is vast difference, progression, and new construction in just a couple of months since I had been
there.
But, you know, I think it's going to ultimately lead to a better experience. They're making bus-only lanes.
Yes.
It's really going to encourage people to take the bus downtown instead of driving your own car.
Yes, and again, I want a bus-only lane that is up on a monorail beam.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little wider than a monorail beam, though.
No, because then you can just make the bus into a monorail and call it a day.
That would work. So, after Raglan, we headed right back to Magic Kingdom, and the running gag was, we're not going to make it, because what happened
and
was...
And Dinosaur was closed.
Yeah. We had this 4:15 reservation. We went downtown early, and we were at Raglan by 3.
Wow.
And we all agreed. I just whispered it to my wife, didn't say it out loud because I don't want my son to hear it. I said, you know, I saw in the Times Guide they actually are doing the castle lighting ceremony already. Because the first party wasn't until Monday night.
Not only in the Times Guide, but someone on Twitter sent that to your attention.
Yeah, they did. So, thank you, Amy Beth
Cumble. Yes.
So, so on, you know, this was Sunday with the first party Monday. I wasn't quite sure when they were going to start doing the castle thing, but they were doing it that night. And so I just said to her, I'm like, hey, if we get into dinner early, we could probably get back in time. Not a big deal. Well, she turned that into, like, we had to get back.
Ah.
It just became a mission. I mean, it was just funny. So we finish up dinner, and, you know, we're doing a little bit of shopping. And then all of a sudden, my father-in-law's like, we're not going to make it. I'm like, come on. He's like, no, we're not going to. So now, like, everyone's getting stressed out about it. I'm like, if we don't make it, it's not a big deal. And inside, I'm like, I really want to see that castle lighting. So we drove all the way back. Because we had – I'm sorry, we didn't drive back. Because we had been there in the morning – and so early to get to our ADR, I actually had Peter Pan 200 was my parking spot. That is the front row right in front of TTC. So what we did, little tip strategy if you ever have your own car, we left the car and we took a bus back to the resort. We took a boat to downtown to Disney Springs. And then we had to couldn't take a bus directly from Disney Springs to Magic Kingdom. No. That doesn't exist
right
anymore. So I'm trying to remember what route. We took a bus to the Polynesian. Mostly because I wanted to get off at the Polynesian.
Sure.
And then we monorailed in. So it was a bit of an adventure, you know, boat to downtown, eat dinner, bus to the Poly, monorail to the Magic Kingdom, back through security. We were standing in the hub by like 6:10.
I kind of like that, but that's great that you did that. I personally would have walked over to Saratoga Springs and caught a bus directly to the Magic Kingdom, but that's me.
Well, that was in play. But when we decided, you know, we were actually leaving, we were probably closer to the bus stop than we were to the bridge to Saratoga. I think your method would have been more direct, and it was discussed.
I tend to be more direct.
I think as we were standing there, we were kind of like, yeah, we probably should just watch Saratoga. Mm. But it all worked out. And again, it's probably a not thought about tip very often, but if you are there early and you decide to leave, there's no reason why you can't leave your car. You know, we were in a parking lot. Nobody has any idea whether we're still in the parks or not. So it worked out really well because then when we left at the end of the night, we were front row at the TTC and got out without issue. But, you know, the castle lighting is nothing that you can experience on a YouTube video. Me posting pictures on Instagram isn't going to help you much.
No.
It's a show as well as a lighting. I'll save the personal commentary about whether or not you like Elsa conducting the show.
Right.
I don't have an issue with it. I know some do.
Yeah, it's still divisive.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, how does she show up at Cinderella's realm and say, hey, I'm going to ice out your castle, even though you're not here to give me permission?
Here's a nice castle. Let's throw ice on it.
Yeah, oh, let's ask the townsfolk.
If I went next door and threw water on my neighbor's house when it's freezing.
Or if you went over there and decorated their house outside for Christmas.
Right.
It's, I mean, the story doesn't hold very well, but it gives a reason to put ice on the castle.
Yep.
And that works. So, it was very beautiful. It's a great show. It's not as long as some people think it might be, but it really does set the mood for, you know, an awesome Christmas time experience. And as should always be experienced, we then went to Tomorrowland at night.
Oh, yes.
It's just amazing. Rode the TTA. Did the Buzz Lightyear, all that kind of stuff.
What did you think of the newly painted rocks? Which I know they were... official accounts are saying... Well, I don't know even how official it is. They're basically saying it's just a repaint. I think it might be something a little bit more than that. But what did you think? Because they went from an orange color to more of a bluish, greenish, fluorescent-y kind of cool-looking color. Did you notice?
If I did, and if nothing else, it's nice that they are tended to.
Okay.
Because it's so often that people are like, you know, they never update, this is worn down, this is scuffed, this should be repainted. Then they repaint, and everyone complains they repaint. So yeah. It's another one of those, you can't win. Do you think they have further purpose?
I think it's not that they themselves have further purpose. I have a feeling that it's more in line with the end result of a retheme that might be coming. And I don't know what that retheme is. I'm not saying I have any kind of prior knowledge or anything like that. But you know, I think there's definitely a reason other than, let's just give it a refresh.
I would agree with that. I'm sure there is something deliberate about it. I just don't know what it is.
Right, and you know, to the point where it kind of ties in with a repainting color scheme change that started with the, you know, underneath the Tomorrowland Transit Authority Rocket Tower Plaza. Now it's extended to the Carousel of Progress with paint on the outside, which is a really neat, you know, retro kind of look, which I like.
Right.
And it's continuing now at the front of the land. I think we're actually poised to see Tomorrowland maybe get some love in the next couple of years, or at least the announcement of some love in the next year or so.
It would be a welcome announcement, should they do it.
Yeah.
I also wonder if some of the futurism that's been lost on Future World could play better at Tomorrowland if they do spruce up Tomorrowland and then the, you know, theoretical repurposing of Future World.
Yep.
So we obviously know, you know, I did notice that the Interventions are closed. There's literally not an attraction left in either side.
Yeah.
So we will see what's to come of that. Whether it's just a bulldozing to open up pathways or reusing those buildings or whatever.
They're not bulldozing those buildings. Come on.
I don't see it either. But yeah.
Some people that are drunk
have an opinion. Everyone has a hypothesis.
Yes.
Everyone has a design scheme.
Sorry, he doesn't listen to this either.
Probably. He's too busy being drunk.
Right.
I don't know if he drinks the Tipsy Ducks in Love, though.
No, I think it's too complicated.
He's just getting into cocktails.
Right. What are you beeping?
I just plugged the phone in. So that's pretty much the the end of our park experience. But before we wrap up, you know, it probably could have started with, I want to talk a little bit about the French Quarter.
Yeah.
Have you ever stayed there?
No. I have not set foot in any moderate resort.
Wow, okay. So I have stayed at every moderate except for Wilderness Campground with the cabins. They're technically considered a moderate.
Yeah, that's bizarre, but yeah.
And I agree with Mike, the Caribbean resort is just a bit large, and it's, to me, because you're in Florida and I'm from the Northeast, that's already tropical.
Mm-hmm.
So the tropical theme just falls a little flat for me.
Mm-hmm. It's like going to other parts of Florida.
Yeah, I mean, if I want a palm tree, it's, you know, I don't need to get to an island to do that. It's kind of just Florida.
Right.
So, you know, they don't celebrate enough of the island experience to really make it more unique than just Florida to me. So, you know, it's beautiful. Some people say it's their favorite resort. That's great. If you want a themed room, Caribbean is a good place to go because they have Pirates rooms and Nemo rooms, etc. I've stayed at Coronado just this past summer.
Yeah, I remember that. Yep.
And I think I told you at the time when I stayed there, it might be my favorite moderate.
Mm-hmm.
Love it there. But I stayed at French Quarter this past week, and it's my favorite moderate.
Mm.
So
I think I'm just, your favorite moderate is the last one you stayed in.
The last one I stayed in, because I stayed at Coronado, and I realized how much I loved, you know, the dig area there, whatever they call it, the playground for my son, and their pool was fantastic. And of course, I was spoiled because we got the upgrade into a suite-style room. Their amenities are a little bit plussed up because of the conventioners, etc. Then I stay at French Quarter. I'm like, wow, it's just gorgeous there. It's quaint and small, but it does not skimp at all on theming or attraction. So I kind of glossed over a lot of our, you know, we went back and rested type thing.
Yeah.
But we went back and, you know, their pool, you know, the slide is short and it's a little bit flat, so it's not a very steep plunge into water, but it's perfect for the kids. My son liked it. Their outdoor rec cast members were fantastic in keeping things going. The pool bar is very nice, very well done. Certainly enough stools to keep anyone that wants to hang in out there. You know, we always saw an empty seat if we wanted to use them.
That's great.
The music going around is perfectly thematic. I was going to record a bacon bit early in the morning one day, and then I realized they shut the music off in the morning, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, the streets aren't really alive and jazzed up at 6:30 in the morning when I'm going to get coffee.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But somewhere midday, that stuff turns on, the bar is open, and it's a party atmosphere the rest of the day.
Cool.
Not drunken college party atmosphere, just fun, festive party atmosphere. So, you know, the French Quarter is not one to pass by. I know it's small, but it's walking distance to Port Orleans Riverside, which offers you an entirely new playground that you are welcome to go use, an entirely new pool, and Yeehaw Bob for nighttime activity.
Yeah.
The one fall down we had at Riverside, I'm sorry, French Quarter going in, and we knew this going in, was that the food court is under refurbishment right now. So they did the best they could. They still had the kitchen available, so they were making their full menus. But the sit-down area was makeshift, and instead of having their normal dispensing Coke machines, they had three freestyle machines.
Ooh.
Which was kind of neat, because I like the freestyle machine.
Yeah.
But when you picture that normally a food court probably has, what, maybe four or six of those fountain stations?
Yeah.
And you probably at times get two or three people drawing from the same station.
Right.
And this was just three freestyle machines?
Yeah.
It gets a little backed up. And the space was cramped where they're trying to do like grab-and-go cash registers and freestyle machines all in one small room.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that going in. They do share with you. I got emails telling us that there were things under construction going in. So didn't detract at all for us. And the quesadillas, they were pretty good.
Awesome.
So... overall, I give French Quarter very high marks. The rooms are well themed. The amenities are fine, as far as toiletries, all that kind of stuff. Pool's great. Arcade is much better than it is at a Boardwalk.
Hmm. Yeah, well, yeah.
my son partook in the arcade a little bit.
It's a low bar.
That. Yeah, it is. I found some of the machines were free at times, which was kind of cool. Like, I just walk up and play Donkey Kong. Gotta love that.
Nice.
French Quarter, great resort, and sadly, we woke up Monday. I joked, "Hey, let's go to Boma," and I thought my wife was gonna go into cardiac arrest because she was so nervous about getting to the airport on time.
And you're gonna take a trip to another resort and be flung opposite side from the airport, sure.
Yeah, so we did not eat breakfast on property, unfortunately. The cask and larder at the airport served as our breakfast haunt. The Starbucks on the terminal where Southwest departs was under construction. They had a small stand set up to serve coffee that was equipped with two broken coffee machines. So Starbucks did not happen at the airport. We went for something else.
Wah, wah.
The cask and larder egg sandwiches are expensive and delicious.
Yes.
So that was it. We flew home, had much sadness on the trip home, and we don't currently have an official plan for our next trip, which is not normal for us. Now, that said, we do have a cruise booked, so...
Oh, well.
I am sure come next July, the cruise that departs on July 9th that we're taking will probably be pre-seated, or is it post-seated? Is that a thing? Pre-seated or followed by a park stay.
Right. That's awesome.
So that's it, my friend.
Well, that's great. It's very well-rounded. Sounds like you guys had a great time. Sounds like you, took your one big road bump in stride. I can understand the frustration, particularly with it wanting to be your first time going to Mama Melrose. But, you crammed a lot into a race weekend that really was there for the race.
Yeah, that was really the focus was the race. And I know we didn't spend a ton of time discussing the race itself, but the whole race aspect is okay to be a focal point of a trip, and I think that's what some folks worry about. It's like, I do my Disney trip, and that's our summer trip. We do our Disney trip, and we try to make sure we see a couple of new things along with revisiting. But when you're on a race weekend, the goal is really to get the race as your focus. At least for me, it's to get the race as the focus, but hey, I'm in Walt Disney World. I'm going to pack in as much as I can. And we did it without exhaustion, So we touched foot in all four parks. Yeah. Like I said, Toy Story was the only ride we rode when we were at Studios. And Everest was the only ride we rode when we were at Animal Kingdom. So, still got to take in one of those e-ticket attractions, take in the atmosphere, and cram in as much as we could without completely exhausting ourselves.
Right. That's great. Well, thank you for sharing that. And if anybody else was down for this particular race weekend, let us know. Send us a tweet. Comment on some of the pictures that we might or might not. Now we will share on Instagram. Definitely. And Dean, that trip, that kind of trip, that truly is the good stuff.
This has been the good stuff. Thank you for listening to Butter and Bacon. For personalized trip planning services and expertise, please contact Becca via email at becca@adventuresoutthertravel.com, on Twitter at @AIOTTravel, or visit our website, adventuresoutthertravel.com, where you can get more information, read our blog, subscribe to our newsletter, and request a quote. Let them know Butter and Bacon sent you. You can follow Butter and Bacon on Twitter at Butter and Bacon, on Instagram as Butter and Bacon Podcast, and please contact us via email at butterandbaconpodcast@gmail.com. To get the good stuff delivered hot and fresh, please subscribe to Butter and Bacon in your podcast app of choice.
What else is going on?
We could talk about turkey before tree.
Yeah.
You know what they say, clear your mind and the rest will follow.
No. Free your mind and the rest will
Close.
Follow.
Be colorblind.
Don't be so shallow. I'm going to make an educated guess that you were seated towards the back of your safari vehicle.
No, not the safari. I'm talking about everything.
I'm listening, I swear.
Go again.
Go ahead.
Try again.
No,
go ahead.
No. No.
Yeah, it was a good time. All right, fit that in somewhere.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I did want to mention it, though, because it was really good.
Yeah, definitely.
And,
Luna.
I shuffled.
Pulls the headphone right out of my ear.
Hi, Luna.
You cannot have it.
Luna, you want a treat? Luna, have a bone.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Oh.
Luna, having Luna while you record, that's truly the good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my cat is here, and she was asleep, and I moved the slightest bit while I was talking to you, and all of a sudden she gives like this little meow, like, hey, don't roll over on me.
Unacceptable movement.